This is the How to Not Suck at Money podcast, show number 7. Welcome back to the How to Not Suck at Money podcast. I'm your host, Devon Jarvis, and welcome back to, this is part 2 of 20 things that rich people do that poor people don't. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the first part of this series, and it really just highlighted some of the things that rich people focus on that might have a little bit of a gap that poor people don't think about as it pertains to money. And some of it is just pertaining to savings, and then a lot of it is pertaining to just the mental aspect of money and that, you know, focus that rich people have as far as, you know, things they do with it and how they think about money and what they do with their money, how they put their money to work, and what they actually really expect from their finances versus what poor people expect from their finances. So let's just jump straight into it. Number 8 on the list is building wealth takes time. So it's not something that's going to happen overnight. And rich people understand this. They really put out a brick map as far as how they're going to go about step by step to get to where they're expecting to get to. Whereas poor people assume that, you know, to get rich, you need to win the lottery or it's going to be something that's going to happen overnight. And obviously, that's really not the case. And we can use one of the most well-known investors of all time. We can use Warren Buffett as an example. He bought his first stock when he was 11 years old. And it really took him quite a long time really to experience the wealth that he has today. And Warren Buffett was in his 50s when he actually became a billionaire for the first time. So if he expected it to happen overnight when he was 11 years old, then he would have been in for pretty much a rude awakening. But that's not the case because he stayed focused. He had systems in place and tried and true. He kept, you know, investing, buying undervalued companies, influencing them, you know, to be able to raise their stock prices. And that's really what helped him get to the place he was, that he is today. Number 9 on the list, never borrow money that won't make you money. So what does this mean? You know, if you go to school, you get a student loan, you're borrowing money. Hopefully it'll make you money in the long run because you'll say, if I get a degree, then hopefully I can get a good job and that'll make me some money later on. But if you get a degree in a lot of these majors that really don't pan out into nothing, and I'm sorry for those of you that may be offended by this, but communications is one of those majors. While you can say, yes, communications is extremely important because we all communicate as human beings and I need to learn how to be able to do that on an effective level, it just really does not get you a good paying job. So you can borrow money, and the point is to borrow money to help you make money, but don't borrow money that will put you in debt. And another example is if I buy a car, buying that car, depreciating asset from the moment you drive it off the out the parking lot of the dealership, it automatically goes down in value, and then it's going to depreciate every year after that. And you're also paying interest on it, which is also costing you money. So a car is not considered an investment. Borrowing money to buy a car is not smart. It will not make you any money. So therefore, you're losing money in multiple different ways. You're losing it on the depreciation of the vehicle. You're losing money on paying interest, and you're really just losing money because it's not providing you the ability to make more money. And number 10 on this list. So business people and really smart and intelligent and rich, they hire professionals that are smarter than them in certain areas to make them more money. So what does that mean? If you know, you want to file your taxes, I could say, you know what? I could follow the how-to step on TurboTax. I can go on there and I could do it myself. Save myself a few dollars because I'm not really paying anybody to file my taxes. However, the rich, they will spend, you know, significant amount of money to hire quality tax professionals to make sure that they're not giving Uncle Sam any more money than he deserves. And also that they're not leaving any money on the table and they're getting everything back that's owed to them, really. So don't be afraid to spend money on professionals that will, you know, and make you money in the long run, because good people and good talent will cost you money. But sometimes that money is worth it when you spend it, because in the long run, it will help you get to where you need to get to even faster. And number 11 on this list, having multiple streams of income. So the rich understand this, and you don't want any of your income tied really to only one stream of income, because that leaves you extremely vulnerable to that, whatever is bringing you in that income. So for example, if you have a 9-to-5, a W-2 job, that's your only stream of income. Well, what happens if you lose your job? You get hurt. You know, maybe you go on disability for a while, you get some disability checks, but then after that, that does come to an end at some point. So hedge your bet, go ahead, get a second stream of income. So whether it's investment properties and real estate, which is my favorite, dividend paying stocks, if you have any other kind of side hustle that's not directly tied to you showing up every day and having to put in the hours, that would be fantastic. So having a second stream of income that is not completely reliant on you will help you get to where you need to be. And as of today, the average millionaire has roughly 5 to 7 different streams of income. So if you have one or two, there's still a little bit room for improvement. So you got some room to grow there. Number 12 on this list, they measure their success. So how can you know where you're getting to if you don't take time to stop and reflect, right? So we have to make SMART goals, right? Sizable, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time-based. So when you make your goals, go ahead and make SMART goals and really chart where you want to get to and the things you need to do to get there. And how will you know when you actually make it to where you want to be? You have to have a way in order to say, yes, I've made it to where I wanted to be. So you have to have the ability to measure your success. So every year, for example, I like to start out the year. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. If I think of something, I'm going to start doing it right away. However, because we function on a calendar year system, you know, I will measure my goals based on calendar year. I'll sit down in the beginning of every year, make a goal, multiple goals for the year. And I'll say in the next 12 months, these are the things I want to accomplish. And then every quarter, I can sit down and look back and really assess where I am on the road to achieving those goals. And you say, okay, you know, I have 3 months left. I'm behind in this area, so I need to step it up. Or I have 6 months left. I'm ahead of schedule, whatever the case may be. So picking goals that you can actually measure and find a way to measure your goal throughout the year to make sure you're staying on track will ultimately help you stay on course and lead you to ultimately being successful. And that is something that rich people do that poor people don't. Moving right along to number 13, rich people, they control their own destiny and they don't really buy into the victim type mentality. So what does that mean? They believe that they are in control of their destiny. So when they want something, they put their minds to it. They work to achieve it, towards getting what they want. And they figure out exactly what they need to do to get there. They don't sit back, really, you know, half-ass it. And then when things don't work out the way they want it to, then they'll say, oh, woe is me. You know, this happened, that happened, and I'm not able to achieve the goals that I've set forth. So they really take their future in their hands and they do whatever they need to do to make sure that they're able to accomplish their goals. Next, they associate themselves with positive people. So I'm sure you guys have heard the saying, you're the average of the 5 people you hang around. So take a look at your 5 closest friends. And is that a reflection of you, and it probably is. So if you want to be around smart people, or you want to be smart yourself, go hang around smart people. If you want to be very good in real estate, go find people to hang out with that are very good in real estate. If you want to be really smart in stocks, then go find people that are really smart in stocks to hang out with. If you want to be a positive person overall in life, then you absolutely cannot hang out with people that are depressing, that absolutely are just a drag on a day-to-day basis, and they have that victim type mentality. So surround yourself with the type of people that you want yourself to be when you look at yourself. And number 15, they constantly educate themselves. So I believe this is one of those things that might be really overlooked by most. So a lot of people can look at those that are rich or that have money and they'll say they're so lucky. Well, I don't really think luck has a lot to do with it. Now, every now and then, timing and all that kind of stuff may play a little part and luck will come into it. However, for most people, luck is really not a significant part of why they are successful. It's the hard work and the energy and effort they put in when most people are not paying attention. So, for example, you know, I've had opportunities at my job where I was working really hard and I was able to succeed, and other people, you know, may look at the situation and they just say, oh, you know, you're just where you are because someone likes you. And, you know, I beg to differ, because they don't see the times when I come in really early and the other times where I stay late, or the times that I put in, you know, working over the weekend to make sure, you know, a project is completed on time or ahead of schedule. So a lot of people from the outside looking in, when they see good things happening to someone, they don't want to believe that it was hard work that caused them to get there. They just rather believe that luck has something to do with it, which in most cases, luck is probably the smallest part of the equation that got them there. So educating yourself is going to be a big factor. So, you know, reading, the average millionaire reads about 50 books a year. So that's going to be, you know, something that you can strive for. I'm not quite there. I read really about 2 books a month. So I'm a little shy of, you know, that benchmark. But point is, as long as you are taking that time out to educate yourself, learn something. And also, when they say reading, it's not, these are like nonfiction books. These are actually, you know, nonfiction books that actually teach them something to where they can improve, whether it's self-help or anything to that, anything along those lines. But it's not, you know, fiction, Harry Potter, etc. All right, number 16, they have clear goals. And this is kind of what I was talking about, using that SMART acronym. Make sure you have very clear goals. You know what it is you're trying to achieve. You give yourself a timeline in which you're trying to achieve it, and that you are working every day towards those goals. Don't let too many things get you to the point where it's going to distract you and you're not going to be able to accomplish your goals, because now, you know, it's taking away from what it is you're actually trying to accomplish. So make sure that your goals are clear. Commit to your goals. Write them down. Hold yourself accountable so that if you're falling short of those goals based on the timeline that you give yourself, you know what you need to do in order to pick up the pace and get to where you need to get to. Continuing right along, number 17 on this list, time management. The rich know how to manage time. So time management is very important. They are very deliberate and diligent about what they do throughout the day. They schedule the most important things usually first, early in the day when they have energy, when they're clear, shortly after waking up or working out early in the morning. So they're able to prioritize and make sure that these things that require the most attention are the first things that they're going to deal with in the day. So it's not something to where you're going to plan the most important thing towards the end of your day after you've had a long work day and you're tired, you may be hungry, you know, groggy, ready to go home, get some sleep. And also they utilize the majority of their day and make sure that it's efficient. So planning everything at a specific time and not just leaving things to chance. So make sure you're not wasting time throughout the day and you're accomplishing everything that you need to. And this is not necessarily the case for poor people. You know, it may be a situation where they go to work and then everything revolves around their work schedule. And then when they get home, they're tired. You know, they may sit down, Netflix and chill, just kind of relax and don't really get to anything that would be, you know, self-improvement wise or anything that will help better their situation. And they kind of just live to go to work. So during the week, they do absolutely nothing. On the weekends, they recoup. And then on Monday, they wake up, they go back to work and then, you know, rinse and repeat, doing the same thing all over again. Number 18, the rich focus on net worth, not wages. So your wages, and I kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, is tied to how much effort you put in based on time. You don't want to be focused on, you know, clocking in, clocking out. That's your wages. Net worth, that's the things that you're going to look at. I'm going to invest in, you know, things that can make my net worth grow over time. And it has nothing to do or very little to do with how much energy or effort I put into it on a day-to-day basis. So this is going to be your stock investments and real estate. Like I said, I love real estate. So when you buy a house, you put money into that house, you put your down payment, you're having multiple different avenues to which your net worth can increase based on real estate. So you can have the appreciation based on the property, your principal pay down after you pay the mortgage every month. And then you're having, if you have renters in there, your renters that are going to pay you every month for living in a property in the form of rent. And you have all these different streams of all these different ways that your net worth can improve. It's very difficult for your net worth to improve based on your W-2 9-to-5 job, because once you go to work, you pay your bills, whatever money is left is what's left. You can't really make that money grow any more than you can. So putting it into assets that can build and grow over time without you necessarily having to devote too much more time into it is how you can focus on your net worth. And next on the list, number 19, their network is extremely valuable to them. So have you ever heard the saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know? So for the rich, their network is an extremely valuable tool. So how can you think of this? Think about if you had a millionaire, billionaire, you know, took some gambles, lost a bunch of money, and now they're poor. Have you ever noticed how in a short period of time, those people are able to get back on top and, you know, start another business and create wealth again? How are they able to do this? Well, the way they're able to do it is because they have a network of people that they can rely on. So that ends up being more valuable than their net worth over time, because they can leverage those relationships to provide them opportunities as they need. And that is really what helps keep them successful as time moves on. And finally, number 20 on this list, they are frugal. And this is something that a lot of people really don't pay attention to, because when they think of rich people, they just think of, you know, buying Louis Vuitton, Versace, they want to buy Rolexes and all this kind of stuff. But realistically, rich people really are frugal. They negotiate prices. Have you ever noticed how rich people tend to get more things free than people who are not rich? So like if you're a famous celebrity and you go to a club, the club provides you with free alcohol and a VIP and, you know, all those wonderful things. Or look at Drake, for example. You know, Drake has just around $100 million net worth, and he was provided by a Canadian cargo company to give him a $125 million jet. That could never happen to someone poor, right? Like you couldn't even get in the club and for free, or even get, you know, a free drink, let alone $125 million airplane. So They are good at negotiating prices. They really are frugal. They do, you know, have budgets. They actually spend money based on what comes in of their passive income. So they spend money based on what comes in from their investments. They don't spend the money that they earn, that they work for. So that's going to be one of those big things that's going to be different between the rich and poor. And a great book that helps you understand that is from Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, where it talks about making assets, building your assets to pay for the things you want, not using your earned income to do that. So hope you guys enjoy this. That's going to do it for the top 20 things that rich people do that poor people don't. If you have any comments on this, go ahead and leave a comment below and a rating. And I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Hope you were able to learn a little bit something about the psyche between the difference between the rich and the poor. And that will be it for the show. And I'll talk to you soon. Enjoy your week, and I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you.